I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, page 831 in your Red Pew Bibles. I encourage you to read along with us here as we've gone through the Advent season from the book of Luke, leading right up to tonight when we hit Luke chapter 2 and we tell the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus. We're kind of hitting the intro up to all of that. And then when you come back tonight as well, the baby Jesus will actually be in the manger. Okay, there's a methodology, and you know, they start, like the wise men start out way back by that window, and so it's kind of method to our madness here. So a couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to visit one of our shut-ins. And she was just really, really frustrated. She could not get her cell phone to work. It was just, it had died. It was a little old. It had died. And, you know, it had worked the day before. Now it wouldn't work. And I can't call out and I can't receive any calls. And I check apps. You know, I wouldn't like to check the weather anymore in the mornings with my app, and she was really, really agitated. So it's a good thing that the pastor was there to pray with her and calm her down a little bit. But that ever happened to you? Your phone doesn't work, okay? Or you lose your phone, or your phone is stolen, and nowadays we're just kind of like, whoa, you know, because so much. You know, we are so connected like that. And sometimes I'll watch people that even they lose their phone just for a short amount of time. And they're just like going crazy. Where's my phone? And, you know, and some of us will laugh at that, you know, ha, ha, ha. But I want to ask you, how did you react a couple years ago when we were without power for about a week? And the TV wasn't working and the cell phones couldn't be recharged. And it was kind of frustrating, like, you know, so we sometimes don't know what to do when we lose that connection to the outside world. We don't know how to react. Well, our story today is about someone who lost something very, very important to him, to a very essential in his life for a period of time. And then when he got it back, it's like during that time, he learned a couple of lessons. And so we're going to look at that this morning. In Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 57. If you recall, this story began when the angel appeared to Zechariah while he was in the temple and told him, Zechariah, you know, that prayer that you and Elizabeth have been praying to have a child, it's going to come true, right? You're going to have a child. He's going to be a very, very important guy. He's going to be the forerunner for the Messiah, right? And Zechariah goes, give me some proof, man, because my wife and I are old. And the angel went, you know, you're mute. You can't speak anymore. And so this is we're going to pick it up in verse 57. Let's pray before we do. I need to calm down. Sometimes I get a little bit excited here, but it's always good to pray before we jump into God's word. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We just spent some time blessing you. And now you get to bless us as we just open up your word, which is just full of good news. And so, Lord, I pray that we would receive good news here this morning and that you would change us, that you would make us more like Jesus, that you would soften our heart and open our eyes, that we would see the good news in Jesus Christ, and that we would be filled with it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 57, it says this: when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John. And they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child.
And I guess another example of just no one believes the woman, right? This is okay. Verse 63, he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation, which means a strong king, for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. How well do you handle silence? There's a lot of people that really don't like silence. It makes people really, really uncomfortable. And the problem with silence is that when we are still, and when we are silent, we start thinking about ourselves. And we don't always like what we see. We are confronted and we start thinking. We are confronted with our flaws and our sins and our hypocrisy and our phoniness. Because for most of us, there is an image that we project out to other people. A lot of religious people will call this our false selves that we project to other people. And when we are silent and when we are still, we are reminded of that false self, and we don't like it. So you know what we do? We avoid silence. We avoid silence. We keep the TV on, keep the earbuds in, and we keep busy. We keep busy and active, always finding something to do. So, in our story, Zechariah had been muted for 9 months by the angel, sort of this punishment from God for asking for proof here. Can you imagine 9 months of not being able to speak, of just spending time alone with your thoughts, unable to say anything? I'll bet his wife Elizabeth loved it. But during this time of quiet, Zechariah had time to sit and ponder and think about things. Probably very uncomfortable for the first month, but then he began to think about, oh my goodness, I'm going to have a child. We're going to have a child. He started thinking, my wife's disgrace will be no more, because she'd be able to bear children. People aren't going to look down at her because the society looked down on you if you couldn't have children. And then when Mary came, we read about last week, as Mary came to live with them, and there was the sudden realization, oh my goodness, this is all coming true. Messiah is coming here, right? And my child, Zechariah's child, is the opening act for Messiah. Whoa! Whoa! We got a new family member this week. Jason, put that up on the screen there. We got a new family member this week. We had to put our other dog down a couple months ago, and Kara had been wanting a dog.
And I said, nope. No, no dogs. I get an email from Diana this week. You know, we probably should get a dog. We could foster a dog, you know, just for a month and just see, you know, we could. I come to church and I kind of tell the story to sharing it with Sandra with the Fun Timers meeting. And Sandra goes, great, just go ahead and get the dog. So once I decided to go ahead and get the dog, now all of a sudden I was excited because I wanted to, you know, Kara would be happy and excited for her. And so I wanted to go home and, you know, but I kept it a secret, you know, for like a day. And then, you know, how am I going to tell her? And, you know, you ever received good news and you can't just wait to tell someone? You want to just tell them right now the good news. It's just so hard to keep in. I think this is Zechariah here. Right, he's coming out of his muting and he's bursting with praise. He just his bubbles just bah, right? And he's not just excited that he can talk again. He just spent 9 months of quiet to ponder and think about what God has done in his life and God's big picture for the rest of the world. And he is so excited. And he's just bursting out of him. And so what does he do? He sings this song. And the first thing he sings about is this, is that God remains faithful to his promises. God remains faithful to his promises. Kind of like we've been talking about over these past couple of weeks, these people really knew their scripture. They knew what the prophets of old had said about the promises that God had for his people, that one day he would redeem them, he would rescue them, just like he did back in the Exodus from Egypt. And he was going to send them a perfect leader to lead them. And now it's happening. God's promises are coming true. And if we were today, I would just say, hey, let's just stand up and talk about how God has been faithful in your life. We could spend the rest of the afternoon probably of people just saying, yep, I experienced God's faithfulness in my life. Yep, I remember sensing the Holy Spirit when I really, really needed to sense the Holy Spirit. I remember God miraculously meeting my need at just the right time. And so we could kind of continue on this story here. And so coming out of his muting, Zechariah sang about God's faithfulness. He also sang that God's way is salvation. He mentions the word three times in these couple verses here. The word salvation, three times. And many of us are familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But the very next verse says this, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so God wants to save us from our sin. God wants to rescue us from living with those false selves that I talked about earlier, right? He wants to save us from that. He wants to fix us so that we can see, so that we recognize and acknowledge who we really are as children of God. He wants to transform us and show us a better way to live. Salvation comes through a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. God's way is salvation. He's saying about that. And then he's saying that God's path is peace. Notice that very last line of his song. He said that this Messiah is coming to save us and to guide our feet into the path of peace. Now think about that for a minute. Let that verse just resonate with you, that is what God wants for each one of us, to walk this path of peace. God wants us to have peace of mind as we go through life, as we deal with all the junk that's out there, not just the junk in the world, but the junk in our world. God wants us to walk through this path of peace. And so he wants us to trust in Jesus during these trials of life. Last week in our Sunday school class, Ron Norris gave testimony to this.
as he talked about,
he just said, you know, I had this health condition, and there just came a time when I just turned it over to God and said, God, tired of worrying about it, it's all yours.
And he said, all of a sudden, there was this incredible feeling of wave of peace that came across my life. Amen. That's what God, that's the path God wants for us. That's what he's talking about there.
But he's also talking about something else. You know, when Luke wrote this story, this was written like 40 years after Jesus had died. And so Luke is
penning this story about Jesus.
And what had happened during that time is that the Romans got tired of the Jewish people being terrorists. And they come into Jerusalem and leveled the temple. They leveled the temple. Just destroyed it. The heart of the Jewish people ruined it. And so Luke is writing this story to the early Christians when that is fresh in their mind. Less than 10 years probably. And so these early Christians know war and brutality. And just like today, the message of peace comes to a world that is more familiar with making war than trying to make peace and reconciliation. God's peace is in sharp contrast to the Roman peace of the day. Because there was, you know, the Romans would talk about peace back then. You might have heard of Pax Romana. Okay? And you know what Roman peace was? We're going to go and pummel you into submission, and then there will be peace. That was Roman peace throughout the world. Right? It's kind of familiar to in some ways the way we understand peace today. We bomb people like crazy, and then there will be peace. And that doesn't work. I mean, we can just read history, and that doesn't work. And so one of the things that Zechariah is singing about here is that God's way is different. Jesus called us to live a different way, not with bombs and brutality and payback and revenge, but with love and reconciliation and forgiveness. Now, a lot of us will just say, let's be practical here. That doesn't work. But with the resurrection, Jesus shows us that it did work. That's the final thing, is the resurrection. That is what's so significant about the resurrection. But Jesus' way is different, and Zechariah sung about this way. Now, I was thinking about this. Here's the thing probably about Zechariah, is that he probably would not have realized all of this to the depth that he had been, that to the depth that he described and sang about here, if he had not been muted. Right? Because there's something about being quiet. There's something about not talking and just reflecting that becomes really, really beneficial to us. It helps us to be reflective. It helps us to take stock of things. It helps us to hear God more clearly, to better remember his promises, and to learn this way of peace. So, as I finish up with this, how can we discover God's wonderful plan like Zechariah did without having to be muted, right? Without having to learn the hard way? I think Zechariah learned the hard way. So, how do we employ the mute button in our lives? Number one is this:
less time with devices. Less time with devices.
And I just ask this question: how much is the TV on in your house? Okay? None of these elbowings or you know. But it's just, how much time do you spend looking at your phone? Okay.
This has become normal. Don't feel like,
this is normal. This has become normal society. Okay. One of my pet peeves is I'll go visit people in their house and the TV's on. hey, oh, the pastor's here. They're glad that the pastor's there. But then we have a conversation with the TV on, and it's usually loud because they're hard of hearing, and I'm hard of hearing too. So, but now I've got to the point and get comfortable where I say, can we mute that? Can we turn that off, right? But that kind of sends a picture, right? That if you can't turn it off when guests comes over, it's just like it's on all the time. And we spend a lot of time with the TV on and the headphones on and the earbuds in and the radio on in the car. And if you stop and think about it, our life is just filled with noise. Filled with noise. It's hard to escape, right? And then when we encounter silence, we kind of go, oh, man, right? We don't know what to do. But I ask you this, and here's, and this is not meant to make you feel guilty in any way. The question is this: how can you hear God speaking to your heart and tell you things and remind you of his promises and to teach you this is the path of peace if there's constantly noise coming in? That's what I want you to think about. So it's not to make you feel guilty, but less time with devices. Number two, daily time alone with God. God wants to remind us of all these wonderful things. God is good news. He's not out to make us feel guilty. He's not out to condemn us. He wants to show us this wonderful path of peace. He wants to bring us joy into our lives. He wants to remind you of his promises that are all throughout the scripture. He wants to save us from our false selves, from believing that negative thing about ourselves that we all seem to believe. He wants to save us from the effects of sin. He wants to show us the path of peace. He wants to show us how to deal with the ups and downs of life and the stresses and worries that always pop up. And so daily time alone with God is very, very important. So I encourage you to carve out some time in your schedule. 15 minutes. Start with 15 minutes. Read the book of John. Read one chapter and then do this. Sit. Sit. And listen and ponder. Listen for God to say something. Now here's the deal. You can try it after 2 days and just say, this is just a waste of time. I ain't getting nothing out of this. Because we are acclimated to noise and activity. And so when we sit alone, it's going to be uncomfortable for a while. But God will reward us. Okay? So listen, talk with God, pray. And during that uncomfortable silence, Jesus takes our mess and our shortcomings and our flaws, and he works with us, and he will transform us into his character. Daily time alone with God. Number three, finally, more time thinking about God's kingdom. More time thinking about God's kingdom. Now, here's the deal. We naturally think about ourselves. That's our self-preservation instinct. We naturally think about ourselves and our own security and do I have enough? And, you know, I speak for myself. I'm very selfish. You want a confirmation on that? Talk to my wife, okay? And when we are selfish, there is more stress and worry in our life as well. But when you do numbers 1 and 2 here in the list, guess what? We will find ourselves then thinking more about God and his kingdom. We will start thinking more about other people and helping other people and reaching out to other people. And there'll be less stress and worry in our life and more joy and hope and peace. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told his followers this: seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things that you're worried about will be taken care of. That's good news. Amen. Is that not good news? Amen. Those are from the words of Jesus. So, my prayer for you this season, all right? My prayer for you is we have a week to go before we enter the new year, that maybe you would self-mute yourself, okay? And by self-muting, you'll begin to discover, just like Zechariah did, how faithful God is. that you will begin to discover that God wants to save you from sin and from the effects of sin in your life. And that God wants to teach you the way and the path of peace. Would you bow your heads, please? And I just want to spend a moment or so just in silence of you listening to God. And to ask, just to think about, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you right now? The follow-up question is this: what are you going to do about it? Father God, we thank you for coming to earth as a human being, entering into our world in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the example that Jesus showed us how to live, how to get the most out of life. We thank you for that. We thank you that Jesus came to save us from our sins and from our false self. It is Jesus who teaches us who we really are. God, we pray that you would show us the path of peace, and that you would give us courage and strength to walk in it, because it is a challenge sometimes. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.